Welcome back to the Adventures of a Disney Dad podcast. My name is Matt, and I'm a dad of three and founder of adventuresofadisneydad.com, a travel agent with the magic for less travel, and your host. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Chip, the dad of five. And this week, we're going to be talking about some big-time news updates with Walt Disney World. And then we're going to talk about Chip and I's recent trip down to Walt Disney World. We're going to recap some of the things that we did for the first time, some things that we found interesting. So, Chip, there's a lot of Walt Disney World news for us to get into. And I'm going to start it off. And some of this stuff, I think I want to get your comments on. Yeah. Mostly the smell offense. But we're going to run through all of this pretty quickly. First and foremost, Club Run Disney is now going to be based on the calendar year instead of the race season, which is a welcome change. That's going to be starting in 2025. For those of you that don't know, Club Run Disney basically allows you to get a guaranteed race registration for any Run Disney race, but it does not include the price of the race admission. So for those of us that just went through the Run Disney Marathon Weekend registration, which was an absolute mess, you don't have to deal with that. You can guarantee your entry and you get to basically skip the line. It's like Genie Plus for Run Disney, which is fun, but it's a little on the expensive side. You get some nicer merch, you get a jacket, and you get better corral placement. But to me, it's not worth it. I think our friend Matt Richardson coined the phrase Club Run Disney bronze, means having 800 devices open on registration day to guarantee your race entry. And that was always just kind of awkward to have as a race season or a year. People always got confused about when to sign up for Club Run Disney. So that's a welcome change. This is the big article, Chip, that I really want to talk to you about. A new Wall Street Journal article cited a study stating they expect Disney will lose 1 million visitors per year and Universal will gain 8 million visitors per year when Epic Universe opens next year. Chip, what are your thoughts on this kind of data? And is this kind of what you expected?
I expect it to be about that. I expect Epic Universe to take at least a big profit share of the travelers. Now, I'm wondering how much it takes away from their other two parks. But I would imagine it's still going to, Disney's what? And of the top eight in Florida, they're all four of theirs are in the top six, I think, or something like that. I think it'll be interesting to see what we get in that first, after the first year. I think that's the big tell of where it goes, but I'm not sure.
The rumor among the travel agent world is that you're only going to be able to get into Epic Universe on single days if you buy multi-day tickets to the other parks. So it seems like that's going to be how they're going to kind of do crowd control and also, you know, give more access to Islands of Adventure and Universal Orlando. You know, you have to buy 5 days of tickets or 4 days of tickets, three of which are going to be the other parks to get the one day at Epic. And that honestly makes a lot of sense, especially, you know, as they are trying to open things up and figure out how they're going to control crowds and move people around and all that kind of stuff. I think that's a smart move. In terms of the, you know, Disney losing 1 million and Universal gaining 8 million, I think it's just the expected new boom in travel, right? Yeah. It's not that Universal's taking away the 7 million or 8 million people from Disney. It's that there's going to be a lot of new people coming down to Orlando because they want to go to Universal. And the Disney people are still going to go to Disney. They're just going to do both. So I think that's going to be interesting. Here's my thought, Chip. I really think that when you look 15 or 20 years from now, right, when our kids are in their 30s, in their early 20s, I feel like there's a good chance they're going to feel nostalgic about Universal the way that we do about Disney. And the reason being, like, the kids that right now are between the ages of 5 and 15, they're for the next 5 to 10 years, they're going to want to go to Universal. If they aren't already, the teens are already wanting to go to Harry Potter. They're already wanting to ride Velocicoaster. And now they're going to be kind of in that golden age of Universal. So I think that'll be really interesting is to kind of see where kids these next few years end up. And you and I have talked about it because we have really young kids. Them adding Trolls and Shrek and some of these things that are geared more towards little kids changes the game for Universal, right? Because Super Mario is going to be huge. But right now, our little kids, there's not a whole lot to do there.
Yeah.
But when you've got Trolls and you've got Super Mario World, it's a completely different ball game for little kids. So I think this study was really interesting. I thought it was interesting.
And going along with you, I agree with you. It's the whole immersiveness where Universal's bringing the movies to life. Mm-hmm. And Disney started to do that a little bit.
Lion King turns 30. I think they had some really cool, you know, throwback merch when we were down there at Animal Kingdom. Lion King is a nostalgic movie for all of us. You just have to fast forward through Mufasa's death, and it's a wonderful
spoiler
film.
Spoiler alert.
Right. The controversial one this week is the smell offense. And these are elephants that are being installed in Storybook Circus at Magic Kingdom. And it's a search and sniff adventure sponsored by Scentsy. So these are very, very large elephants that are painted in a fun way. The first one was painted like caramel popcorn. I mean, it's a very big elephant. And the idea is that kids will be able to do a scratch and sniff adventure, finding the different statues, the smell offense, and they're going to like release different scents, again, sponsored by Scentsy, that are park centric. And now I think three of them have been installed, and some people are not happy with the way that they look, but it's an area for kids. And I think it's fun. Chip, have you seen the smell offense? What did you think?
I've seen a few of them. You know what? If it's going to make some kids happy, it's not going to bother me whatsoever. I just know that Scentsy's been a big partner with Disney. Like, they have exclusive rights to certain candle warmer things. We don't buy them, but I've seen them. I've had friends that sell them. So I'm interested. I think my kids would love it. Like my girls will enjoy it, but we don't really go back to Storybook Circus very often, except for ride to go see the Great Goofini.
It reminds me a lot of the stuff they try and do at Epcot, right? Like the different scavenger hunt type things for kids, which are fun activities. I think the one at Epcot right now for Flower and Garden is like $10 or something for you to get like the map and to do it.
It's the butterfly, right?
Yeah. And so that's fun. I think any kind of low cost activities are great for kids, but for the most part, like families going down for the first time, they've got other things to do rather than do like the smell offense scavenger hunt. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm kind of indifferent about it, but we'll see how that goes. Over at Universal, the rumor is that Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket is going to close permanently in 2025. That's a ride that I love, and mostly because of the nostalgia that it brings behind the concert venue there, I think is really, really cool. So when you're watching a show, if you go to one of the concert series, which they have great bands that come to Universal for Mardi Gras and different things like that, that seeing Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket light up behind a concert is just a cool, unique experience. So, you know, RIP to Rip Ride Rocket, but it'll be interesting. I'm sure they're going to put something really cool there in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Chip, this one probably hits a little home for you. Journey into Imagination construction plans were leaked, and it indicates some sort of change or refurb, or Journey into Imagination 4.0 is coming in the future. It's a 19-month construction plan ending, I think, in November of 2025. So Journey into Imagination is going to get some sort of change. Does that like hurt you, Chip?
I am sad. I like Figment. I'm not like a diehard, but it's one of the rides that I'd like riding. I think it's fun.
We rode it on a recent trip.
We did ride it, and Matt looked at me like I was crazy because I was like, dude, I love it. And the one thing I will say is the ride used to be twice as long. So if they're going to go back to the old track, which goes upstairs to that DVC lounge we went up to, then I'm all game. But as long as they don't remove Figment, I say he's the icon, like he's the character of Epcot. So I'm not saying of Walt Disney World, of Epcot, he's the character of Epcot.
I'm not a Figment guy. I know our friend Hallie Jones loves Figment too. I just can't, but I do think kids love that ride, and it's a cool pavilion there. So we'll see what they want to do with it, but no specific rumors yet about what's going to happen there. But I'm guessing at D23, we're going to get some sort of information on that. So now, like with the news behind us a little bit, Chip, let's talk about our trip recap. And one of the most fun things that I thought that we did was probably the least expected from my perspective. We found out when we were at the Riviera that they were doing a $200 gift card incentive for attending a DVC open house. So this is Disney giving you $200 on a Disney gift card for free, no strings attached, for attending a 30-minute DVC open house where you meet with a DVC representative. They explain to you the program. They let you tour. If you do it at the Riviera, they let you tour some rooms. But you can do it at any DVC resort. You do have to make an appointment. I've had some guests of mine that have gone down there and done it, because who does not want a free $200 Disney gift card, right? I mean, it is an awesome incentive. And we left there, and I was kind of blown away, number one, by the Riviera, because the rooms were absolutely stunning, and the views were awesome. Those rooms were awesome. But I think we had King, was her name, was the DVC representative, and she did a really great job. She was not pushy. I didn't feel like she was
hands off.
Yeah, she was not trying to get me to make a decision. She was not trying to get me to buy it. Like, she was trying to give me the information. And I had the email with the gift card in my inbox before the tour was over. And I think, Chip, we probably spent, what, an hour with her, at least, right?
At least an hour. And I would say the one thing about it is it was so non-aggressive. Like, everybody goes with all these timeshare. No, they said, what rooms do you guys want to see? We said, all of them. Right. All right, take your time, film it, send it to your wives. Offered us snacks, offered us water. Like, it was very, like, just so relaxed. Like, I didn't, and I've done it before, and I'll tell you this. So we did it in 2018, and it was a $150 gift card, and you got three fast passes. So for them to bring back $200 gift card, I think that's a great, great incentive. If you are a DVC member, you cannot get the $200 gift card.
Right. And you have to be staying at a Disney resort too. And you can't have multiple people from the same room doing it. Like, don't abuse this and ruin it like people do with DAS. Like, go there, enjoy it. Seriously consider DVC, because if you go to Disney every year, which a lot of people that listen to this podcast do, is very much worth it. Like, there are, and we should do an episode talking about DVC, Chip. Yeah. I think that, because you are a DVC member.
Yep.
And I'm not, but I it's very clearly going to save you money if you stay at deluxe resorts on a yearly basis. So definitely we'll have to consider talking about that in the future. But free $200 gift card, and we had a blast. They're not pushy. Yeah. It was a great experience. Highly recommend it. So definitely check that out. And shout out to King for being awesome, because she was great. She sent some stickers and stuff for my kids afterwards, which was wonderful. And that's the Disney touch, right? they go in above and beyond, and they're not trying to make a sale, which was awesome.
Yeah.
The next coolest thing that we got to do is something that not everybody gets to experience, because you have to be a friend, family member, or an employee of Walt Disney World. We got to go to Cast Connections. Our friend Chris, that was on the show, currently works at All Star Movies in the Disney College program, was kind enough to take us to Cast Connections. And Chip, we probably got, I would say, close to $1,000 worth of stuff for like $250. What did we spend in total between the two of us?
I just looked at it. I think it's about $285, because we had two purchases. $285 is a pretty good deal.
It was awesome. And like, I felt like when I got home, I had gotten like so much stuff. Like, I got a spirit jersey for my daughter. I got like 10 pins. The pins, I mean, and we're talking like this stuff was all like under $7. I got limited edition pins.
Yeah, that one that was one of 500 total.
There were limited edition pins there. They had spirit jerseys, all kinds of really great Disney merchandise. The Starbucks tumblers, I think, were like $3. The one that blew me away was the Disney autograph books were $1.50.
Yeah.
And this is before like they get the employee discount too of either 10 or 20%. So
10%. Yeah. And then like, I got lounge flies. Like, I got, I brought my two daughters lounge flies.
Food. They had food. We didn't buy any of the food.
Well, we bought a cookie.
Yeah, we did buy a cookie. But like, they have like the chicken chunks, and the fries like that are like in the parks frozen.
If they would have had corn dog nuggets, Matt was going to buy them and send them home. Like he was planning it.
And let's be honest here. Okay. I bought so much stuff that, and I only went down with a carry-on, and I should have known better. Went down with a carry-on that was full, and I bought so much stuff that I had to UPS a box for $60 to ship it to my house with like my shoes and my clothes and stuff in it, because I filled my carry-on with all this stuff for my kids so that when I got home, the kids could open it, and my clothes and my shoes and stuff arrived a couple days later.
Hey, I gotta ask the question. How'd the Epcot PJs work out?
Dude, all right. So for those of you that don't follow me on Instagram, they had Epcot pajamas. So it's the pattern of the Epcot ball, like silver pajamas. And my wife, I knew, would never wear those things, but they were $1.99. And they're like the Under Armour. They feel like Under Armour.
Yeah, they're pajamas. Stretchy.
Yeah, they're stretchy, and they've got like, I bought a set for myself, and I bought a set for my wife, knowing that my wife would probably never wear them. But I was going to do it anyway, because like, who doesn't want to spend $1.50 or whatever on Epcot pajamas? So the first thing my wife texts me is, you better not have bought those for me. And sure enough, those were in the UPS box, and they arrived a couple of days later. And I said, here you go, honey. And I was correct. She will never wear them, but they were an awesome purchase, and it was a lot of fun, and I'll wear them. Like, I don't care. I'll wear them. But A lot of cool stuff. The other thing that was huge there for the Run Disney folks is they had literally all of the marathon weekend merch. So they had all the finisher shirts for the 5K, the 10K, the half, the full, even dopey stuff. They had hats. And Princess Weekend, all kinds of stuff. Like, and it changes, you know, daily in terms of what they've got in there. Because people come in and buy it all, and then they restock it with other stuff. So it's not like you could guarantee you'd go now and get the Run Disney stuff. But yeah, like, you're talking all of the great expo gear that people are fighting over that goes on eBay for like hundreds of dollars was like $5 at this store. Like, I wish that I had run Marathon Weekend last year, because I would have bought it all. And I feel weird. Like, even to buy it to work out, like, I feel weird buying a race shirt for a race I didn't run.
Yeah.
That's just odd to me. So I didn't really feel comfortable doing any of that, but they had mugs and all, I mean, just, it was full of great stuff. And then they also had stuff from inside the parks. So like signage
the best one was the MG. They had the old MGM studio sign. Like that thing where it says Disney's Hollywood Studios, right? When you walk in, they have that up there. They had like big, like characters, like Goofy, like playing hockey.
And the cool thing that Chris pointed out that some of the stuff they sell and some of it they auction on an employee auction site, but they had like a 50 logo from inside the parks that he said was, I think, had a minimum bid and was still going of like $300, but it was really cool. And that's the kind of thing for like Disney nerds like us. I would buy that stuff and hang it. Like, I mean, my wife probably wouldn't let me hang it anywhere, but I would try. But it was really cool. And a big shout out to Chris. You know, he spent the day and hung out with us, but that was an awesome experience going to Cast Connections.
It was great.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun. So the other huge part of the trip was Chip's shirt. Got more compliments. he had this like Hawaiian style. It's like a Roosevelt style shirt, but it wasn't Roosevelt's that his wife had gotten him. And it had a huge bold print of Disney characters on it and like the castle and stuff like that. And for our listeners, I am not exaggerating when I tell you, I have never in my life witnessed someone get so many compliments for a piece of clothing ever. It was everywhere we went. Chip was like getting a compliment about how awesome his shirt was and people asking where he got it. So shout out to Kelly for getting him the awesome shirt because it's like stained in my mind.
What's crazy is how many of them were employees. Cast members. So many cast members. Like we went to breakfast at the yacht club, and I think every employee we walked into, man, that's a really nice shirt.
Yeah. They loved Chip Shirt. Chip Shirt was a hit, and it was a lot of fun. Maybe we'll have Chip posted on social media or something like that. We got some updates on the trek for the best coffee at Walt Disney World. I think we've got some new rankings, right? So Chip, you and I agree, as always, that the cold brew, peanut butter cold brew at Gideon's is, in our opinion, the best coffee at Walt Disney World. We were sitting there waiting in line one morning, and there were three cast members that sat down next to us that were waiting in line as well. And one of them pointed out that they can't get the peanut butter cold brew anymore because it tastes like protein powder. And this was before we got it that morning. And I can't get it out of my mind now.
It's that PB2. That's what it is. Yeah. That's what they use.
But it's still my favorite. But now when I taste it, it does taste powdery to me, and it kind of ruined it for me, but it's still number one. So I want to give it an update quickly because I've got a new number two in the rankings. So right now the rankings are the Gideon's peanut butter cold brew. And then you've got to go to Starbucks at one of the parks or at Disney Springs. That's kind of the gist. Underneath Starbucks would be the Shaken Jamaican from Joffrey's. So that would be like fourth generally. The Shaken Jamaican you can get at most of the Joffrey's stands, and it's like sufficient. But the new number two to me is the Joffrey's Toffee Flight that's only available at the Joffrey's stand at the Skyliner station at Caribbean Beach. And it was really freaking good. I'm guessing it's got like 900 grams of sugar. Which is why I probably thought it was good, but it was solid. And I felt myself like when we were getting tired in the middle of the afternoon, like wanting to go there.
Yeah.
So I you didn't try it though, did you?
I did not. So it's hard for me to drink coffee after in the morning. Like I'm a hot coffee, black coffee guy. I did have another cold brew and it was good. I'd never had I'm not a cold brew guy. Was the Riviera. The Riviera is the only resort on property that does not have Joffrey's coffee. They have their own beans flown in. I don't know if it's a French thing. They just, their coffee is not Joffrey's.
And I did forget about that one. That would be my number three was the, and
you didn't put anything in it either.
I didn't put anything in it. So it wasn't black. It was a mixed coffee.
Yeah.
But I don't remember specifically what it was because King, our awesome DVC host, got it for us and it was great. But so that would be my number three. So then Starbucks would be number four Shaken Jamaican would be number four Starbucks would be number five generally. The one that like people talk about all the time is the Cocoa Puff topped cold brew black calf in Batu in Galaxy's Edge. People love that thing. I tried it, but it's just not for me. I didn't think it was that great.
The coconut one in Animal Kingdom. You're not a coconut guy.
Yeah. But I think that's, if I remember correctly, that's the reason why I didn't really like the one in Batu is cream cheese topping. And so it adds a little sweetness to it and it just didn't taste right to me. So I was not a huge fan, but I know people love that one. And we definitely went by the one because I was going to go get the one in Animal Kingdom that a cast member recommended to us as part of our trek. But I don't do coconut. So, you know, the rankings may vary, but those are really, I think, all the contenders for the best coffee at Walt Disney World. We're going to talk a little bit about the best pizza at Walt Disney World next week, because we're going to have to debate that with Matt Richardson. And he's going to come on the show to talk about the new pizza window that is open next to Via Napoli, which we tried. And we're going to talk about all the different ranks for pizza at Walt Disney World. He went to Pizza Rizzo, I saw on his social media recently. Pizza Rizzo is like, if you're in a pinch, it's like, it's fine, right? Like I'll eat it if I'm in a hurry. And like the options at Hollywood Studios are not always that great. So it's solid if you need something, especially if you've got little kids.
Yeah.
One of the cool things that we did, Chip, what did you think of the Caring for Giants tour? Well, first, let's explain what the Caring for Giants tour is. It's
Yeah, so the carry for Giants is essentially you in a small group. I think what we have, nine of us. You go backstage and you go to a private viewing area to look at where the elephants roam. They didn't really tell us until we got back there that, hey, you might not see an elephant. So that was kind of the first thing, because there was no other elephants. We had no idea what to expect. It was just, it's a private tour. It's a very reasonable, I think it's $40 a person. And you go, you're literally on the, like, you see the safari trucks driving by.
But you do get closer than the safari.
Yeah. Which, so we were probably what?
80 feet, I think is what they describe it as.
That's what they said. Okay.
Yeah.
I was saying, so like, it's about 85 feet yards, around. Something like that. It was, dude, when we saw the elephants, it was pretty cool.
Well, so to give context, like when you check in, it's right next to Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Yeah.
You check in there and you're not allowed to film or video anything when they take you backstage. For those of you that have run any Disney races that go through Animal Kingdom, it's basically the roads behind Animal Kingdom where there's a whole lot of nothing. Like there's not anything special to see back there. I don't know what people would think you're going to take photos of, but you go back there and it takes like 15 minutes to get from like where you check in to the spot where they let you out and you can go and look at the elephants. And they've got some great, you know, caregivers there for the elephants that like talk to you about them. They've got models, they've got real elephant poo, they've got some cool stuff to show you, like elephant hair, and like you really learn a lot. But part of the reason why they've got you there to teach you those things is that like the spot that you're in is so big that it's possible you literally don't see an elephant. Like we saw one way, way far away that was like near one of like the medical houses. Yeah, he wasn't on the savannah, but they have, I think, 10 elephants in their herd, which is, I think they said, it's in the top five in the world for like a zoo habitat. And you get out there, and the reason why it's only $40, you find out really quickly, is it's possible you literally don't see anything. And the tour is only an hour long, so you spend 15 minutes getting there. You're supposed to have 30 minutes to observe, and then you have 15 minutes to get back. And luckily for us, we were about 20 minutes in to like actually being back there. So we only had about 10 minutes of observation left. And one of the elephants comes running around the corner.
Now, I'll tell you, we did luck out, because two of the main, do you call them zookeepers, or two of the main, the people that work with that I've seen on the animal channel on Disney Plus, the one guy I've 100% seen, I heard him yell out the name of one of the elephants and she came walking over.
Yeah,
so we lucked out with that.
And then we all got excited. And then the cool thing that happened was that was the mom, if I remember correctly, of the new baby elephant, Cora, which is the whole reason why I booked us this tour, was to try and see the baby elephant. The baby elephant came running and it was the cutest thing ever.
The baby was worth every single penny, was seeing the baby run.
Yes. And then, so then some of the other elephants came over, and like, that's when you got like that wow of, this is a really cool experience. But you've got to warn people that it's possible that they don't get that experience. Correct. Right? Like, it is very possible you don't see any of this stuff. But for us, that last bit of time was worth it. And then they extended it. They gave us like an extra 10 or 15 minutes back there. And on top of that, like, you and I had lightning lanes that were like bumping right up to like we were going to be late. And they extended our lightning lanes because we spent more time on the tour. And the cast members were fantastic. They were doing the same for other people that had dining reservations. They were bumping those so that we could spend more time back there. And seeing the baby elephant was awesome. It was awesome.
Especially, it was awesome because like I took pictures and sent it to my wife. And it's funny because the baby's still nursing from its mom. And they were talking about how she's a small baby. Like she's that, not a normal, like she's actually small for her size. And they had to like build a stool for her. And the baby running. And then so grandma was there. And then the ma, or the pregnant sister, was there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought it was great. And one of the things that we're going to talk about that we did on our trip that we really enjoyed was spending a lot of time at Flower and Garden when we were with Chris. But I want to talk a little bit about that next week with Matt, because Matt spends a lot of time at Epcot. So we can talk about some of his favorite snacks and some of ours from Flower and Garden. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. We tried the lavender lemonade. Chip did the brunch cop biscuits and gravy. So we've got a lot of thoughts on those different things. But sticking with Animal Kingdom, Chip, like, did anything change for you in terms of how you felt about Animal Kingdom after this trip? Or do you still kind of feel the same way? Like, you guys have always enjoyed Animal Kingdom, I think.
I enjoy Animal Kingdom. I think it's still missing something. I don't know what it is. And maybe it's just we went at the wrong, like, we were there at the hottest part of the day. I just feel like it's missing maybe like a nice, slow, another slow type dark ride or something like that. We walked through Dinoland. That was pretty cool going through there. We rode Everest, but then like after that, it's like, eh, you go spend 45 minutes on safari, but maybe I want to do like a nice slow boat ride, like Navi River Journey, but that's only a minute and a half long, something like that.
Yeah.
It's so big and it's missing a few things. It's got great shows.
Yeah. For me, my perspective on Animal Kingdom changed a lot. I think like my family does not spend enough time there. We usually go in the morning. We do like the safari. We hang out for a little bit and maybe catch the Lion King. And then we park hop somewhere else because I'm stacking lightning lanes somewhere else and don't want to use them at Animal Kingdom, right? Like, I'm not going to use them on Everest when I can use them on stuff at Hollywood Studios or whatever. But my kids would absolutely love Everest, and they have not ridden it yet. It's very similar to Big Thunder Mountain, and my kids, that's their favorite ride right now. So spending more time doing Everest, doing the Maharaja, I always say it wrong, Jungle Trek is something that I really want to do with my kids so they can see the tigers. There's some really cool opportunities. And the food, the pulled pork fries at Flame Tree Barbecue were incredible. That was like the first thing we ate when we got there.
Yeah.
When we got to Disney, that was what we ate for lunch, and it was awesome.
And it's a side. It was a side item.
And I think we both love Flame Tree Barbecue anyway, but like it was really great. And there was a lot of live entertainment going on. I'm really starting to get convinced that even before all the renovations to Dinosaur, Animal Kingdom is a full day park and families should plan to spend more time there. And so I'm kind of being converted to an Animal Kingdom guy, which I didn't expect. Like it is definitely significantly climbed up my rankings in terms of places I enjoyed being. I had a lot of fun there, and it's also very photogenic. I brought a camera. I bought an actual physical camera, and it's the first time I've ever used one, not just my iPhone. And I had a blast like taking photos at Animal Kingdom. It was a lot of fun. So that was a huge part of the trip for me that I thought was really great. And then I want to close with and we'll talk a lot more about our trip over the next couple of weeks too. We had a blast. There's two other things that I want to touch on really quickly. One of the things that we did that I don't think you may have done it, but I definitely had not done it, was the fireworks at the Polynesian Beach.
Oh yeah.
Had you done it before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still happily ever after when it came back after COVID there.
Right. And you told me that. And you and I spent a lot, actually we spent a lot of time generally at the Polynesian and on the
Polynesian's
beach.
Riviera. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we spent a lot of time there because we would go and we would take a break from Magic Kingdom or whatever park, and we'd be on the monorail and we would just walk over to the Polynesian and get ice cream and just go hang out on the beach for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Call our families, call our kids. And then we'd go to a different park or whatever. And I mean, it's a great spot. What is your overall thought on fireworks on the beach at the Polynesian?
Today, if you're not in it for the castle, like seeing the castle, like the projections, it is probably the best spot, in my opinion. They pipe the music in so loud. There's a crowd. I mean, then what started right after the fireworks was the electric water pageant. I mean, that happened right after we got done. I love it because I don't feel packed. I don't feel jammed in. Yeah, there was a crowd, but guess what? If I had my kids, they could run around on the beach. They don't have to watch it.
And to be fair, there were no seats. I mean, it was like we were standing. We met some great people from Cleveland. We could have sat down on the beach, which I just didn't want to get sandy and stuff. But you could have. There's plenty of room to sit on the beach. For me, it was too far away. I enjoyed it, and I especially think it would be great for families that are staying at the Polynesian or anywhere on the monorail resorts, because you can watch the fireworks and then just take your kids to bed and not have to deal with like transportation, getting out of Magic Kingdom, getting to a bus, getting back to your resort, all those things that are like kind of make it a nightmare. You can watch it on the beach and then you're, you know, you're 5 minutes from your room and you can go upstairs and go to sleep with the kids. But I think for my kids, it would be too far away for them to really appreciate it, is the way I felt. I could be wrong because I want to do it with them and find out.
No,
but here's like the castle is very, very small from there.
Yeah.
It's very small.
Would you do it on non-park day?
Well, I think I would. I mean, I think because on my park days, I want to prioritize doing, I want to see it in the parks.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to be in a park, I'd rather see it in a park. But like, if I'm going to go, I think it's a great spot. If you're going to make a dining reservation, you know, at one of the restaurants, like I would love to go to California Grill for dinner. And instead of watching it on top of the Contemporary, go to the beach and watch it there. Like, and get some ice cream. You know, we ate way too many Dole Whips from the ice cream spot right next to the beach. Yeah, those are great options. And there's obviously great restaurants at the Polynesian too. But to me, it's like, I feel like my kids, it would just be too far away for them to see at their young age. And the fireworks do look great from that far away because you can see them and they're really big. But the castle is very, very, very small. So I would, at this age with my kids, I'd prefer on a park day, I'm going to the parks and seeing it. But I think it gives a great option for people that are staying around that area or doing it differently or whatever. So staying in line with the fireworks, this was, I don't want to call it a revelation, but and it could have just been the time that we were there.
No, that's how it always is. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, as a parent with little kids, when the fireworks are over, for the most part, we go home, right? We're not riding anything after the fireworks are over. We are leaving and going to bed. There was nobody, and I mean nobody, in Magic Kingdom after the fireworks were over. Literally every single ride was 20 minutes or less, except Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That one stayed at about like 45 to 60 minutes. But once you got in the line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because I did it the one night, it said 60 minutes and it took me about 15. So I would venture to guess that, because everything else was listed at 5 minutes, Haunted Mansion was listed at 13. It was a walk on. You could literally do almost everything except Tron because of the virtual queue stuff. You could do just about everything at Magic Kingdom in the 2 hours between when Happily Ever After ends and the park closes.
So
I think that's Matt, I almost did it. We talked about it. I almost did it just to test the theory.
Yeah, Matt, my feet were hurting the one night, and then I was over at Epcot the one night and he was going to do it. But that's how it is. Like the deluxe after hours. That's how it is. That's how we've done at Epcot. And we did it at Magic Kingdom is once the fireworks are over, people leave, except for the people that realize the park is still open.
And this wasn't even after hours. Like, you don't have to be at a deluxe resort. This was just park hours. So, like, the parks closed. Magic Kingdom closed at 11. Fireworks were done by 9:05 or whatever. 45. Or no, yeah. 8. Yeah, somewhere around there. And it was, like, everybody left and everything stays open. And the cool part, too, is, like, you can get in right in the line for a ride up until the minute before park closes. And they'll let you ride it. So I went like right before 10:59 and got in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because I thought I was gonna have to wait longer for that ride. And it was 15 minutes. I was off. I had a blast. And then when you're going out, all of the shops are still open. You can't get food most of the places, like the confectionery and some of the ice cream shops are still open, but like you can't order Casey's or anything like that. No. But all the shops are open. And like, you can still do all your shopping and get your stuff out. And the biggest thing I've seen is like, you know, be respectful of the cast members that want to go home in the evening, you know, don't like linger and try to be the last one out or whatever, but like, you're going to get empty park photos and all that fun stuff. And it like, if your kids are up for it, or if you're there on an adult trip, like Chip and I were, there's a lot, like you can knock out a ton, if not everything, you can literally do a lot of it. So that I thought was really cool and fun to experience and something a little bit new. But we're going to talk more about our trip over the next couple of weeks and recap some of the things that we learned and some of the fun stuff that we did and share with everybody. I can be found on Instagram at Adventures of a Disney Dad. If you want to follow along, Chip, where can people find you?
At Robinson Dad Life on Instagram.
And if any of you are interested in having me assist you in planning your next Universal or Disney vacation, please feel free to reach out. All the links to get a free quote are in the show notes. Our services are free to you, and we'd love to help you plan your next dream vacation. If you could take a moment and follow, subscribe, like, and review the podcast on whatever platform you prefer, we would greatly appreciate the support. And thank you again for spending some time with us. And we will see you next week.
We'll see you when we see you.